Hello and welcome to another episode of In the Margins. My name is Eli and here with me today is Acro. Acro is an aspiring professional musician who focuses on hip-hop, rap, and alternative styles of music. He mostly works on singles and has recently released Night's Halo in January. How's it going?
Yeah, it's going good. You know, been working on songs and stuff, but yeah.
Just nice. Chilling.
How about you?
I have been doing a lot of schoolwork.
I feel the same for me, but you know, it's only the first week, so like I'm still kind of chilling. But
yeah, it's like you're in the weird zone. Like the first week is kind of chill, and then the second week they smack you in the face with all the
science. Yeah, exactly.
You're in economics, right?
Yeah, economics. Yeah, second year.
What do they make you do in economics? Like, I'm guessing math.
Yeah, a lot of math and graphs. Like, you gotta know your graphs, or like that's like important.
Oh man,
it gets annoying though. Like,
do you have to know your palabras?
Your what? Probably. Oh.
Like the U shaped.
Oh yeah. Kind of like that. Yeah.
My knowledge of economics is like, other than like practical purposes, it's very like basic.
Yeah. Like, I'm not gonna say like I know everything, but like it's passable, you know. It's passable for me, you know, because like, I'm decent at math. So
nice. Yeah. This is the person who's one of their parents failed statistics 3 times. So you shouldn't have too much faith in me when it comes to math.
Yeah. Everybody has their own thing. So
exactly, we're kind of like we're almost like opposites in a way, because I'm a languages major, and yeah. I'm I run a writing club, and and you do economics.
Yeah, because like I'm not trying to write.
No, you don't want to write.
No, I'd rather do equations than write. music. That's like, you know, music. I'm not writing essays and stuff. I'm just writing lyrics.
Yeah. Do you think partially that maybe one of the reasons you like music is because it's music is kind of mathy?
On the music, it's like it's more of like something you can just like express yourself in and not like worry about, like, you know, I don't know, like say like you have your own fan base, it's like, you know, they understand you for who you are, kind of thing, through your music. So it's like you can just express yourself and like you just your voice and everything, and it's like I don't know, it just feels comfortable just being able to express myself through, you know, music itself. So that's for me, that's how like I think of music as, just like a way of like expressing how I feel.
Interesting.
Yeah.
So is that why you started getting into music, to like kind of yeah, as exactly. Therapy almost?
Yeah, exactly, like that. It's like a therapy. Like basically, I guess I took it more seriously when like COVID hit. Yeah. I was at home most of the time, so
I think that's the case for a lot of people. It's COVID hit and they're like, yeah, well, we can do exactly one hobby.
Yeah.
How did you get into music? So you said you got into it for like feeling like yourself and it'd be cathartic. But is there a specific point in time that you can say that you really started getting into it?
Okay, so like I'll say I started music in like 2018. But oh, I wouldn't say I like got serious back then. Like, so like for me, getting into it would be more of like 2020. That's when I actually got into it, because like in 2018, my music wasn't like good. It was like I was using some like free platforms online. It's like those free softwares, and like there'll be.
Did
like,
you use Audacity?
Yeah, I did use Audacity, but like
that's what I
used still, to yeah, like I'll still need like something else to, you know, add the effects and stuff, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I used GarageBand at one point, and that's not really like good for professional quality. So it's like,
that's not super great for professional. It's good for getting yourself off the ground, though.
Yeah, no, like so, yeah, like 2020, but like right now, you use Logic Pro X, which is like a little more professional. But I got that in 2021. So like in 2020, I wasn't actually like mixing my own vocals. Like I was like sending my, you know, vocal like files and stuff to like online friends that also do music had more experience. So like they would kind of do it for me. But like now, since I know how to mix my own vocals, it's like a less of a hassle. So it's like, yeah.
And you can control exactly what sound you get.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. like there'd be times like I would get my vocal files back, like mixed and everything, and it wouldn't sound the way I want. It's like I would have to keep.
And then you don't want to insult people by saying, "Hey, exactly. Can you?"
Like, yo, sometimes they added so much auto-tune. I was like, I don't need that much auto-tune. Like, I don't want to sound like a robot. You know, it's like...
I think that's a really fun thing to talk about, because a lot of people don't think about what goes on behind the scenes.
Yeah.
And I find it... Because for me, I used to get my podcast edited by Radio Laurier, and now I do it myself.
Yeah.
And I was limited to, like, 5 edits, so I was like, okay, intro, outro music, and then the dog in the background barked 3 times.
Yeah.
So how did you start, I would say, editing your own music? Like, what made you start doing that on your own rather than going to your friends?
Okay, yeah, so, like, all right, so the first thing would be, like, the time it takes. So, like, I'll send them a vocal file and stuff. Sometimes they'll take, like, few weeks to get it back, even though it's, like, mm-hmm. a simple, like, 2-minute song. And, like, yeah, that just got annoying. It's, like, I want to release a song soon, but, like, I got to wait for them to mix it and, like,
mm-hmm.
I don't know, then, like, yeah, like, since I use, like, a MacBook, like, I heard Logic Pro was, like, the best to use for MacBook, and, like, there's this other one, it's called FL Studio, which, like, most producers use, but the thing is, like, when I, there's, like, a demo version, I downloaded it, and, like, when I went into it, I was so confused, it's, like, I didn't know what to do, but, like, yeah, Logic Pro is basically, like, an upgrade of GarageBand, and since I had experience with GarageBand, it was, like, an easier transition, and, yeah. So, like,
oh, that's interesting.
But yeah, like, to, like, sum up your question, it's just like I wanted to, like, finish my songs I was impatient. I wanted to be more consistent and have more control over, like, how I want it to sound.
Did you find that when you were working with your friends, it was, you didn't really have a lot of control over, like,
yeah.
I don't want to say your branding, but, like, your vibes, I guess, is the best way to put it.
It depends. Like, I had, like, a few friends, but, like, yeah, the one that had, like, the best quality of, like, vocal mixing, yeah, like, they'll take a long time, and sometimes, like, it wouldn't be my vibe, but, like, mm-hmm. and there was this other friend who was, like, you know, kind of, he was, like, a beginner level at mixing, except, like, actually he sounded good, so, like, we'd hop on Discord calls, and he'd basically just be, like, screen sharing, but the thing is, though, like, even though, like, there was a little more control there, it, like, it would still lag and, like, all that, like, all those issues and stuff. It's, like, it would get annoying, and, you know, it wasn't smooth, so, like, yeah.
Yeah, so having control over that also helps with your branding, right?
Yeah, exactly, yeah.
So, you're an aspiring professional, the future, does that mean that you want to be, like, a full-time professional musician?
Yeah, like, if I get the opportunity, like, I'll definitely take that, like... I have a passion for music compared to, like, you know, economics. Like, you know, I don't really have a passion for economics. It's just, like, you know, it's something to fall back on. You know what I'm trying to say? Like,
yeah, I know what you mean. I don't think I've ever met anyone who necessarily had a passion for economics. I don't.
Yeah.
I'm sure there are people out there who are like, oh my god, I love this so much. I love economics. Look at all these charts. Look at all these diagrams, numbers. Yeah. But I don't think I've ever, like, heard anyone talk as passionately about, like, math as I have heard people talk about music.
Yeah, for sure. Like, yeah, Donna, I feel like there's, like, a less percentage of people who are actually, like, into, like, educational type stuff, like, subjects compared to, like, yeah.
I wonder how it would, like, be interesting, know, like, if our society, instead of, like, being really into musicians and, like, holding them as celebrities, if instead we held, like, professors and stuff, and people were, like, losing their minds over, like, all these new philosophical I don't know the word. You know what I mean.
Yeah, I get you.
Philosophic. That's the word I was looking for. There we go.
It's just not entertaining.
That's true. For a lot of people, it's not.
Yeah.
So going... sorry for the derailing there. Going back to music.
Yeah.
What made you want to publish your songs and gain an audience?
Of course, like, before I made music, I would be listening to other artists, and, like, I guess like listen to all these artists like in my genre, like that kind of that was like a big influence to me. Mm-hmm. Also, like you know how like we mentioned like it was like therapy, so like their music would be my therapy.
And, oh, okay.
Yeah, like so, like kind of like their you know their music influenced me like a lot, which like influenced my music. So like say like my inspirations, like I'll list them. I'll say like Juice WRLD, XXXTentacion, The Weeknd. So like them, for example, like if you listen to my music, you kind of like get some of their vibes. Like you kind of like feel it. Like if you do listen to them, like you'd know. But like if you don't, then yeah, like my music would sound different. So I guess like publishing songs is kind of like looking up to my idols that publish these like their songs. It's like kind of influenced me to publish songs too and grow an audience. But like thing is like you know, it's not just like a random audience. I'm growing an audience that can like relate to me, and like relate to me like through my music. I could also help them with my lyrics. Like you know, if they need therapy, you know, I hope my music can help them like the same way these other artists helped me. So it's like that. Yeah.
How did their music help you?
So like, I mean, like the artists I look up to, like their music is like emotional. So like the things they say in their lyrics is like kind of relatable to like stuff that happens in my life too, or like how I feel. So yeah, like I guess like when I listen to music, I listen to it like for the meaning rather than just like the vibes. So like that kind of relates to my music too. Like when I make songs, it's like I can't just say random stuff. It's like it's hard for me to make a song saying random stuff. Like everything I write in my lyrics is like has like a meaning, even if it's like a whole different topic. Each line has like a meaning to something.
Oh, that's interesting, because I listen to music for I just listen to it because I like the vibes of it. Usually I don't look too deep into lyrics and stuff.
Interesting. I mean, like you are a writer, so like I guess like if you do look at like some artist lyrics, then like you know it could actually like you know you could I guess like you could have like a change of like focus.
Mm-hmm.
When you listen to music, like if you actually focus on the lyrics, then you can tell how some artists like they would actually be a good writer if they like pursued you know writing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
I don't. It's interesting. I think there's a very strong link between writing lyrics and writing poetry.
Yeah.
So I find a lot of people who write poetry and a lot of people who write music kind of overlap and work together a lot.
Yeah. Well, like, there's definitely songs that's like kind of like poetry type like lyrics. Like there's like rap songs that have like a lo-fi beat, which is like, you know, more of a calm, you know, gentle vibe to it, and like has like poetry. I don't know how to, like, you know what I'm trying to say. It's like
the lyrics are kind of more of a poetic feel.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Yeah.
Do you prefer songs that have more of a poetic feel, or do you like have a preferred genre or feeling of a song?
My preferred genre would be like it's not an official genre, like you know it's called melodic rap, but like that's not like an official genre. There'll be like a subgenre of like hip-hop rap and like R&B. So basically, you know, it's like you're singing but the lyrics are more of like a rap flow to it. So it's like so that's why it's called melodic rap. That's like my preferred genre. I like hearing melodies, like good melodies, and like instead of just like straight up just like a rap flow, I'd rather hear melodies with it too. So that's my preferred.
So for the audience who may not know what those genres are, what exactly is R&B?
R&B? Well, like personally, like I don't really like listen to R&B that much as rap, but R&B would be like, or I feel like the audience would know who The Weeknd is, at least, because you know, The Weeknd has billions of, like, you know what I'm trying to say? He has like 80 million monthly listeners on Spotify. Like, at least someone has to know in the audience. But yeah, so the R&B is basically like what The Weeknd does. It's different from pop. Like, you know, pop is more like jumpy, you know, like has those vibes. I mean, like, not necessarily just jumpy, but like, yeah, like compared to pop, R&B is like more of like a late night vibe to it. It's just like, like, I can't really explain R&B as good as I can explain raps, but like, yeah, just listen to The Weeknd. That's
just
R&B.
Listen to it. Figure it out yourself.
Yeah, exactly.
So basically, you want to publish music because it's kind of like an homage to the songs you've listened to, and also because you want to help other people.
Yeah.
That's a very nice motive you have. Like,
yeah.
And not that saying that, like, other motives aren't as nice. It's just that it's nice meeting people who just, like, want to make things a little bit easier for everyone.
Yeah. Like, and people in my genre, like, I'm not trying to call out, like, every single person. Like, some people in my genre, like, that they make music for, like, the lifestyle, you know, like,
mm-hmm.
Well, if they get popular, they can have this lifestyle, they can be rich, they can, like, you know what I'm trying to say? It's like, that's kind of, like, what, like, the rap genre is. If you did listen to rap songs, like, most of the lyrics, like, well, some artists, like, they don't have, like, meaningful lyrics. It's more of just, like, a, yo, get money, do this, do that, like...
Oh, like the ones where they're like, get money, get a nice car, get drugs.
and some like really explicit topics.
Yes. You know?
Yeah, that's kind of what rap is. But like if you listen to my music, like most of the songs aren't even explicit. It's like clean. Like most of my songs are clean. So like my audience can play my songs in front of their parents.
That's your real selling point right there.
Yeah.
Do you like rap? Do you like R&B? Yeah. Would you like to be able to play it in front of your parents? Well, I got the songs for you.
Yeah.
I feel like if you ever have to do... I'm assuming you have to do business courses in economics.
Not really in, like,
really?
If it's just economics, you just do economics. So, like... I mean, I did take business courses first year, but, like... No, it wasn't for me. And... I don't need that business knowledge from there. Like I just kind of do whatever I feel, you know, is helping, you know. Like I wasn't trying to, I don't know, it just wasn't for me. Like for me, I felt like economics felt easier than like business courses.
That's fair. Yeah. I took a business course, to be fair. This was entrepreneurship for non-business students. This was for the arts people.
Oh, okay.
And so it was probably majorly simplified, but the entire time I was just thinking, this feels like common sense. It's like, don't get mad at your customers. Make sure there's enough staff on the floor.
Yeah.
Don't book 20 staff members in the same hour if you have a tiny store. Don't buy more than you have money. And it's like, kind of terrifying that some people need this advice.
Yeah, well, like, the business courses I did, it wasn't really simplified. It's like, there's, like, all these, like, new terms that I never heard of before. These, like, I forgot what it's called. It's like, these strategies, and, like, you know, you gotta follow this, these steps, like...
Oh, like that, yeah. I know what you're talking about. I don't remember the name. It's, like...
I think I remember one was, like, Porter's Five Forces, something like that.
Yeah, I know what you're talking about.
Yeah.
So for the audience in the business course, they teach you how to do business models and how suppliers are linked to your customers and how that's linked to your overall brand image, how that's linked to the product and the overall package image and how everything's linked to everything and how, like, just how you're supposed to go about things.
Yeah.
And that's what we're talking about. There's like a bunch of grids and stuff, how everything connects. We were shown it like a bunch of times, but then we never actually used it.
Oh, dang.
Did you do this simulation?
Like, what do you mean simulation? Like,
oh, they made us do a simulation where we were, air quotes, running a shop online, and we had a certain amount of time. And employees kept leaving us, even though we were paying them like $22 an hour, and I was like, if I was paying my employees or someone was paying me $22 an hour, I'm not leaving that store.
Sure.
I was like, that is not. And then the other people were paying their employees like $6, and they were staying, and I was like, sure.
See, that's why these simulations are fake.
Fake news.
Yeah. No, like, well, like, for us, we just had, like, those, like, we didn't have, like, simulation like that. It was just, like, those, like, textbook stuff, like, the e-text had those, like, built-in, like, kind of, like, simulations. And just, those, like, it gives you, like, multiple choice options. You pick one. Like, you know, those, like, choose your own path books. It's kind of like that. Like, that's kind of what we did in that course. Yeah.
I find those interesting because in real life, it's kind of like when like you have a child make you like a situation, they're like, Okay, you have two choices. You can cross the bridge over the river, or you can swim through the river. And yeah. You're like, well, I'm going to take the bridge. And they're like, oh, bad idea. The bridge broke and a shark ate you. And it was like, what?
If you swim in... if you swim, the shark's still going to eat you.
Yeah, it's like, either way, it's like, okay, I couldn't have known that.
Yeah.
Or when they give you, like, this very vague, they're like, Joey and Susie have $20 between them, and they broke up. Who is right. Susie going to date next? And it's like, what? How am I supposed to know?
Yeah.
Textbooks.
For real.
Yeah. They're so weird.
I'm not gonna lie, like, I don't really, like, read textbooks that much. I just, like, look at the course notes. Like, yo, why do they gotta make us, like, read the stuff they make notes on? Like, exactly. Like.
No, I understand. I hope my professors aren't listening to this. But, yeah, one time I was in a class. I will not name the class. But people who have been in this class and people who are in the class with me will know. This textbook had, like, was sentences 13 lines long.
Yeah.
And it, like, with no, like, that was the entire one sentence.
Yeah.
And then she would read from the textbook instead of, like, having PowerPoints or anything. Oh, and then she would also, she was like, make sure you do the readings. And I hated that textbook, so I didn't do the readings. And then she always thanked me for doing the readings and, like, participating in class. And I was like, yeah, you're welcome. I'm such a good student. Okay, moving back to music.
Yeah.
What are your current projects looking like? Because I know you have some in the works. You say that you make a bunch every month, although you don't release them all.
Yeah, all right, so, like, yeah, basically, like, I just make songs, and, like, I don't know. I feel like some other artists, like, they'll probably take, like, months to just work on one song, like, perfect it. For me, like, music is, like, you know, like, I don't really have that much knowledge on theory, like, I'll be honest, even though I'm an artist. Like, for me, music is, like, kind of like art. Like, I just, like, draw whatever looks good to me. So that's how I treat my music as. It's like, I just kind of do whatever comes to mind. And I don't really follow a structure. It's like, I do this, it sounds good. It sounds good to
your
the audience.
Your vibes only.
Yeah.
That's interesting, because I've talked to people who are, like, on the other end of the spectrum, where they, like, they know so much about the theory, but they don't really do anything with it.
Yeah.
Do you have any projects you're currently working on that you're, like, looking to eventually publish?
Well, to be honest, like, I don't really plan my releases. It's like yesterday I made a song. Yeah, like, yesterday I recorded a song, and then I just save it. I just put it in my folders. So it's like, I don't know if I'll release this or not. It's like when I do decide to release a song, it's like I just go through all my unreleased songs. I just listen to them. I'm like, all right, let's see which one sounds the best. Has a different vibe from the last song I released.
How do you know when something's ready to be released?
Yeah, the thing is, like, I just compare all the qualities of all these unreleased songs. Also like the my release times is like, it just depends on how my, like, recent song does. So say, like, Night's Halo, like, say it reaches, like, 1,000 views on YouTube, then I start planning. I'm like, all right, I'll release a new song soon. It's like I want the audience to show me they want a new song. So, like, if they like, you know, stream the song that I just released, it, like, you know, it just shows that they're actually, like, you know, keeping up with my music, and they actually enjoy my music. And, like, that motivates me to, you know, work on the next song. It's, like, yeah, just, like, depends on, like, how my like, last song does. That kind of influences when I release a song. So, say if, like, Night's Halo got a bunch of views in 2 weeks, then I'll be like, all right, I'll release a song soon. But, or, like, if it took 2 months to hit, like, 1,000 views, then, you know, then that's when I'll release a song. Like, that's kind of how my releases are, like. It's, like, it's not really planned. It's more, like, how the other song does, and, like, that decides when I release a new song.
So you time it based off of how many views it gets?
Yeah, like views, interaction, like, and I mean, like, sometimes, like, I have my Discord server and stuff, and, like, fans be like, when are you releasing a new song and stuff like that. And then sometimes I do this, I set like a reaction thing on my Discord or like on my IG story. It's like, react if you want a new song. And if I see like I have a lot of reactions, I was like, all right.
Like, that's really interesting. That's very different from like pretty much every advice I've ever heard about like putting up content. Yeah. Like I that sounds like I'm shading you. I'm not.
No,
it's very interesting to me because that's a very unique way of doing it.
Yeah. Because like, all right, say if you look at my YouTube, it's like right now, like the last five songs, they all have like over 1,000 views. But like, say my like a song right now like still has like under 1,000 views, then I release another song and say that one gets 1,000 views, like it just looks inconsistent in a way, you know, like I want to keep it consistent, and that's why like that's why like I release it like that. It's like I like seeing consistency rather than just like a whole roller coaster of like views. Yeah.
So it's kind of like you use it as a way to incentivize
your
listeners. If it's like you're holding them hostage. It's like, if you want a new song, you better freaking listen to them.
I mean, like, Nice Hill, like, it only hit 1K on Spotify, but, like, Spotify and YouTube are, like, my main, like, that's where, like, my main audience is. So, I kind of want to see both of them compliment each other. And, like, that's when I'm like, all right, you guys are ready for a new song now. And
It feels almost like, okay, you gotta eat everything on your plate before you can have dessert.
Yeah.
What made you go into like that kind of style of uploading? Because I know most people try to upload, either they upload at a regular pace or they upload whenever they have new songs.
When I first started, like I'd kind of like upload, like I'd only upload on SoundCloud when I first started. So, but right now, like, I upload on all platforms, and, like, it takes time to deliver it, too. Like, you have to, like, put it through a distributor, and they, like, you know, they usually recommend, like, sending it, like, 2 weeks before release date. So, like, now it's more, like, I actually got to plan it right and put the right song out. I can't just, like, upload a song randomly, like, you know. So, like, but, like, yeah, first, like, I'd upload, like, on SoundCloud, like, sometimes it would be, like, daily or, like, every week, like something like that, but like that's when my song quality wasn't as good. I'd say like around 2020, I think that's when I started like doing this way of uploading. It's like because I started seeing that like I was gaining more supporters, and like I felt like I had the potential to actually like hit like higher views than I usually did. Like I used to only hit like what, like 10 streams, something like that, and like it slowly got to hundreds, and I was like, all right, I want to set a higher limit for myself. So I want to start seeing consistent like thousands of views so I can actually like grow, and like I don't know, like just seeing how like I had like the potential to like, you know, do that, that's kind of influenced me to like set this type of uploading time. Like I don't know if that makes sense, but like
it does. I wasn't sure like what the logic was behind it, but it seems like it works for you. And From what I've heard from other creators is that uploading like on a regular schedule can be pretty, like it can downgrade your work a lot, especially once you get to bigger audiences. So in reality, it may not be like such a bad idea.
Yeah.
And it seems like it works for you and your fans. So
Like another reason is like I don't wanna like put all of these work out, like, you know, like with the amount of fans I have right now, like if you compare to like other artists that are already big, it's like sometimes their new work sounds like worse than their older work, because like when artists are smaller, they actually have something to prove, you know, so they try to give it like their all. And but like when they're like bigger, sometimes they don't put an effort, they just like they know that whatever they put out, the fans are going to listen to. But like that's one of the reasons I don't want to like put out all my best work like that. Like I just want to like keep it steady. Like, and like if I did want to release all my songs, like there'll be like 60 songs released. Like,
oh my god, can you imagine if like your fans would lose their minds? They're like, oh my god.
Yeah.
Exactly. So how did you gain your fans in the first place?
Huh. Alright, so this might sound funny, but like, so like, say like when I was younger, like when I was really young, like I used to play like, you know, like online games like Roblox and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Yeah. So like I did make a lot of friends on like Roblox. And then later, like as we got older, you know, there was Discord, and then we talked on Discord. And then like, yeah, and then like when I started making music, like I shared it to them like on Discord. And yeah, so I'd say my original fan base like came from Roblox connections. It was transferred to Discord.
That's so funny.
Yeah. So like that's kind of like my first fans, basically Roblox slash like well, like most of my fans right now are from Discord too, but like yeah, that was like the beginning point. Mm-hmm. But I would say my fan base actually started growing in like near the end of 2020. That's when it actually started growing, because I made a server, and like I grew that server, and basically like that server is kind of like the main like base
hub.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Main hub for my fans. So yeah, it's like the server had a big impact on how my fan base grew.
That's interesting. Yeah. Why did you decide to make a Discord? Like, when did you decide you're like, I need a base for all these people?
I'll say like in August, like 2020, is like I had like, you know, my Discord friends, and I was one of them. Like, they know how to program, and like they're like a, you know, they're good at like computer science and stuff like that. But yeah, like they know how to set up Discord bots and all that stuff. So yeah, one time I was like, yo, I should make a interactive fan base, like so like people actually who listen to my music, I can actually talk to them and stuff. And then yeah, like, and they actually made like that server, like they just created a server out of the bots and all that stuff. But like
nice.
Yeah, then they transferred ownership to me, and then I like, you know, edited the channels and everything. But yeah, like I wasn't really like, or just like a random thought that came to my mind. That's how like the server started. It's like, you know, I should actually create like, you know, interactive fan base, not just a fan base, but an interactive one.
So, why an interactive one?
So like, you know, they can actually talk to me, I can talk to them, you know, I can actually like say for big artists right now, like you know most of them don't even like talk to their fans and stuff. Mm-hmm. They just, so yeah, they don't know what their fans think of them and stuff like that. But like here, like in Discord server, you can literally see the chats, like everybody talking. And you know, say I release a new song, I ping everyone. You can actually like see people leaving a feedback in the chat. They're like, yo, this song was fire, or like, oh, this song needed this. It's like that. And also like the reason I chose Discord, like out of like other platforms like Instagram and stuff, is because I did like promote on Instagram before, but like, you know, people are kind of toxic on Instagram. They're like, yo, stop self-promoting. No, I'm not listening to it, it's trash. Like they don't even listen to the song, they just immediately judge. But on Discord, like people are actually like nice, like more like kind in a way. Like there's these bots, like there's this one bot called Userphone.
Mm-hmm.
Or no, yeah, it's called, so like basically it's kind of like Omegle, but for Discord in a way. Except, you know, no video chatting, they just text. But like, yeah. Yeah, that's kind of where like I started. I was just like, hey, what's up? I make music, I was wondering if you're down here. Like I'll send that to them. And like most of them, they'll say yes, then I'll send them my link, they'll listen to it. I was like, and then, you know, they'll say like, if they say it's good, I'll be like, thanks. If you want to keep in touch with my music, I have a server for it. And they'd be like, sure. And then like, that's kind of how like it started. Like, you know, I gained fans like that way. Like I'd reach out to people instead of them just like, you know, coming out of nowhere. But like slowly, like those people would recommend it to their friends. And that's kind of how it started growing.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
That's actually a really good business model, to reach out to the people that you know and then have them send it, and then you send to people when you can.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
So you're on all kinds of streaming platforms and social media.
Yeah.
So how do you run your social media?
Huh. All right. Well, like I'm mostly active on like just Discord and Instagram, but like, yeah. So that's why like, it's like less pressure, because I know the other social media platforms like Twitter and like TikTok, I have like a less of an audience on there. So that's how I know like which one to focus on. So like I put more of my time on like Instagram. I post like stories like daily on Instagram. Like I post polls and stuff to keep up with engagement. And yeah, and for Twitter, I just like post random quotes like that I make, you know, of myself. Because like, yeah, and but like I don't really get that much engagement in Twitter. Like I don't really get likes and stuff. And for TikTok,
I
yeah, for TikTok I kind of do the same thing, like screenshot my Twitter quotes, put some anime like GIF or whatever you call it, GIF GIF on the background.
You're gonna start an internet war with that one.
yeah. I put a screenshot of the tweet on it, and it's like, and I put like my music in the background with it, and then, you know, so like people can just come across that. They can also hear my music too on TikTok. But yeah, but like, YouTube also has this community feature. So like,
right.
Yeah, that's also like another way where I can like interact with my audience. So like sometimes I set up polls. I'm like, what genre do you want next? You know, and then like, but most people also pick like hip hop. So like, and that's kind of my main too. So it's like, makes it easier. But yeah, I don't know. I just do fun polls most of the time. So like, yeah, that's kind of my way of engagement. Like those polls and chatting with the fans in Discord. That's just how I do my social media.
Do you ever network with people at all? Like, do you ever reach out to other musicians or other creators?
So, like, that's something I used to do, like, 2020. That's, like, so basically right now I have, like, a collective. Like, do you know what, like, a music collective is? It's, like...
No idea.
So it's basically, like, imagine, like, a band, but full of solo artists. So it's not really like an official band or anything. It's just like that's why it's called like a collective. It's just like
the Borg collective.
Yeah, you can just like reach out to each other. That's kind of how like, you know, the like people from my collective, like those are kind of like the online friends that mix my vocals. It's like they're part of the collective. I just reach out to them. I'm like, hey, can you mix my vocal? Like that's but like yeah, it's not just artists. It's like producers too. So like I can get beats from there. Like that's how I like, you know, get my beats right now. Like I have like producers in the collective, and yeah, they don't even charge for it. It's like because we're like all working together, you know. But like if I were to reach out to someone else like outside of the collective, then yeah, they're like, or you gotta pay this much for the beat, stuff like that. So yeah, like so now I don't really network with like other artists. Like sometimes like I go on like music Discord servers and I'm like, hit me up if you are like, if you're an artist that want to collab, or if you're a producer that wants to work with an artist, like, and then yeah, people sometimes DM me, and that's kind of my way of like networking now. Like, I don't really like reach out to people in DMs. It's like I let them come to me. Yeah,
that's interesting. I have to say though, hearing you say the collective over and over, I just all I could hear in my brain was like the Borg collective. No. It's like yes, the musicians that all share one mind.
No.
So for the audience, what do producers do for you?
Producers? Producers, they just send me beats. Like, that's what producers do. They make beats and they send beats and they get, like, credit, you know? So, like, all of my songs you'll see, like, if you're, like, listening to on YouTube, you'll see in descriptions, produced by blah, blah, blah. Or, like, and sometimes you'll see in the title, because some producers, like, ask you to, like, put their, like, name in the title of the song. So you'll see, like, the song title like bracket prod, you know, blah blah blah, like, you know. So and first like Spotify, you'll see in song credits like produced by like whoever. So basically the producers are like important to my music, because, you know, without them I don't have like a good instrumental in the background to, you know, support my vocals.
So you don't make your own instrumentals?
No, like I actually like tried making my instrumentals like when I first started, and like I don't know, like I decided to just like focus on my vocals more, and like because like I mix my own vocals now, and actually like, you know, you actually gotta know what to do, like what plugins to use. So if I were to make my own instrumentals, it's like you'll see me making less songs, because like I would also have to focus on like the beat, then also mixing my vocals, the effects, everything. Is like it takes like what you call it, like I don't know, like I don't know, just like makes it more easier for me, like in a way, to release music. Mm-hmm. Now since I have producers that actually help me.
Yeah, it takes less, it's less time trying to figure out your vocals and everything.
Yeah,
or not your vocals, your instrumentals.
Yeah, instrumentals. Yeah.
So what goes on behind the scenes when it comes to editing? So what's your editing process like?
I use Logic Pro X. I put the beat on there, and then I have like all these like vocals, like I don't know how to call it, these like vocal channels. So like, yeah, like tracks. Yeah, the tracks. So like I have like my main vocals, my backup vocals.
And you make those yourself, right?
Yeah, like I put all those like effects myself. Like I didn't watch YouTube tutorials, but like I like mixed everything that I learned. So like say I want to sound like a specific artist, like I'll search up how to sound like this artist on Logic Pro. But like I'd like, you know, like search up multiple artists instead of just one and kind of mix like the whatever I learned into my own vocals to make it, you know, sound more like me instead of like a copy of those other artists. So yeah, so like I have like my main vocals, backup vocals, ad libs. Do you know what ad libs are?
I do, but let's tell the audience as well.
Ad libs, it's like the well, for my music, it'll be like the yeah, whoa that you hear in the background. My vocal, yeah. So like, and then I also have like this thing. It's like ambience. That's what I call it, but it's still like ad libs. But like, I use that to kind of repeat like the. End of like each line, so like all right, let's see, for one of my songs, like so like Chris Tara, it's like are you gonna let me out, for my ambience I'll just repeat that let me out part but extend it so it sounds like more spacey and like
then so it takes up more space.
Then I also have the deep backup vocals and then high backup vocals to give that like monster effect.
Okay.
Yeah, so like that's kind of like my main stuff. But like,
do you ever have like times that you wish you could do a certain effect but you don't know how to do it yet?
Yeah, for sure. Like I want to do like the stutter effect, but like it sounds weird when I try doing it. It's like I don't know if you heard it. Like it's like say like one of your like lines start with I. It's like repeating that I like before. Like it finishes the line, like I don't know, like it's called the stutter effect, but like the way I try doing it, it doesn't sound as good as like the ones I hear like on like professional like songs. That's one of the effect I actually want to like master, because it sounds cool like on upbeat songs.
Do you ever struggle with the fact? Because I know for me, it's annoying that a lot of podcasts that I listen to have like these incredible sounds and backgrounds and all that and editing.
Yeah.
But then as a regular person who doesn't have access to a $5 million budget, you can't, like basic equipment, right?
Yeah.
You can't get like that level of quality.
Yeah. No, I feel, cause, yeah, like my music, like obviously it's not like professional equipment. Like only thing that's close to professional is like my $100 mic. And, oh well, like my laptop, obviously, but like you know, I have the Audio Technica 2020.
Oh.
Yeah, but like I heard, like $100 mics are still considered cheap mics. So.
Yeah, they are.
Yeah.
I have a Blue Yeti, and that's like.
Oh yeah.
The best USB-C mic you can get.
Yeah.
But it's like compared to the actual like microphones.
Yeah.
It's like super low quality, which is really interesting.
Yeah, well, like, I did have, like, a Blue Snowball mic. Like, I'm not sure if you heard of that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Snowball, that was, like, that was the mic before this mic. But, like,
okay.
Yeah, like, that mic, it was, like, decent, but, like, I didn't feel like it was helping my music, like, how my vocals sound. So that's why I switched up to this AT2020. But, like, yeah, like, my setup, though, it's just, like, my laptop on my desk, my mic beside me with, like, a pop filter.
Mm-hmm.
And then I have Apple earphones. I don't even have headphones.
Like, oh, you don't even have headphones?
No. Yo, actually, oh okay, God. This is a funny and sad story, but like I did have like Beats headphones, mm-hmm. and I was at like a basketball tournament, and basically my Beats headphones were in my bag. It was like a ghetto area too. So like, yeah, like, I don't know, I had my like bag like at the spectator area, and then after the tournament was over, I went home. I don't know, I didn't even like reaching my bag or anything, like I didn't feel like I need to listen to music or anything, but when I got home I was trying to look for my Beats headphones, it wasn't there anymore, so like somebody probably stole it,
probably. Sucks.
But like, yo, they didn't even, like, I didn't even have the charger and stuff with it, so it's like, yo, it's gonna die.
It sucks to be them.
Yeah, this is gonna die.
That's kind of funny.
Yeah, but still. that those headphones are like $300,
so that really sucks.
Yeah,
I know your pain, though, because not specifically related to that story, but just in general with, like, recording.
Yeah.
With, like, because I'm going to guess that you don't have, like, one of the mixers that, you know, like, the handheld mixers, so you, like, plug the microphone directly into that, like, so it's not recording on your computer, it's plugged into the mini recorder?
No, I have, like, mine has, like, a USB, so, like mine just, like, record, like, yeah, like, whatever I record just goes in Logic Pro X, like, so, like, for me, like, yeah, I don't really have trouble with that, like, just, like, yeah, I input, you know, through the mic, and just, like, the output, you know, it just appears on the DAW itself, like, yeah, so.
That can be actually pretty useful to just have it record directly into the program, because for the listeners, I record on a website and it records and it formats the audio files for me, and then I put it into my audio editor. But sometimes either something will go wrong on the website, or it won't download properly, or I have to stitch together different pieces. And I'm sure that's fun for you with vocals. How do you edit parts of your song that don't seem to go right?
Oh, that's pretty easy. Like, I could just, like, cut out stuff. Like, there's a, like, bunch of tools. Like there's a scissor tool, which I, like, cut stuff out. There's a fade tool. So, like, if there's, like, a small, like, background noise at the end, I can just use that fade tool. And, like, so it just goes away. Like, or, like, yeah. And, like, for, like, my plugins, I have, like, stuff that removes background noise.
Oh,
so,
nice.
Yeah, so that it helps a lot. And, like, yeah, like, just basically, like, I just rely on all these effects to, you know, make everything sound crisp and, like, clear. Because without these effects, like, if I like, took off all these effects, all you hear is, like, some, like, background noise, like, all these, like, noises just, like, wouldn't sound right. Yeah.
I feel you on that, because I used to live, there was a dog that we called Barky, and I had to edit him out so many times. And it was like, please stop.
No, I feel like, cause like right now I live in a house, but like before that, like I actually moved here like with my parents like last year. Like, but before that I lived in an apartment in like Hamilton, and like there was like almost sirens like almost every day. People yelling outside, like all that stuff. Yeah, so that affected my music too. It was like, it was harder to like,
you know, the pain.
Yeah, people, but now it's
people
really
who
good.
Don't record don't understand.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh man. One question I wanted to ask before we get on to our last few questions.
Yeah, sure.
So you call yourself Acro.
Yeah, Acro. Yeah.
Does that stand for anything? Does that have any significance?
My name's Acro because my flow is acrobatic.
Oh, that's I like that. That's cool, actually.
Like, because like you know, I call like I'm versatile with my genres, with like how I sound. I can rap, I can sing, like you know all that. So it's like I can switch it up. But like I added a zero instead of an O at the end, like you know, Acro. Because like I don't know, like everyone starts from zero, or like especially like me, like I feel like I started from zero like when it came to music.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, like I had to kind of like, even my fan base itself, it starts from zero, right? So it's like, you know, I don't know, like zero is just like that number, it's like that starting point. So yeah, Acro with a zero, but pronounce it Acro.
Yeah, that's actually really cool. I like that a lot. I don't know. I thought it was maybe like short for acronym or something. No. I wasn't sure. Yeah. Or like some space thing. That's interesting.
Yeah.
All right. We are at the 50-minute mark. So I have two final questions for you.
All right, sure.
Are you ready?
Yeah.
All right. First one. Is there anything we haven't talked about yet that you would like to talk about?
To be honest, like I can't really think of anything because I told you like my music process and all that stuff. So
nothing.
Well, one more thing is like I do draw some of my cover art, so I actually do like doing digital art sometimes.
Oh,
but like I'm not like a professional, obviously. But like I'm into like anime and manga, like so. Yeah, like that's kind of if you look at some of my cover arts, it has like anime vibes to it. So it's like. That's where like you know my cover art influence comes from.
Cool.
Yeah.
So do you use a drawing tablet or?
I actually draw my phone with my thumb.
Like, oh my god, really?
Yeah. Like, but I didn't draw all my cover arts, I drew some of them. So like, if you see
cover... Did you do that for the
newest song? No. That was done by a fan. Well, there was actually,
if you drew that on your phone, I was about to be very impressed. No, for people who haven't seen it, it looks like it was drawn on a digital tablet, yeah. And I was like, you drew that on your phone?
No. It was from a cover art contest in my Discord server. And then, like,
Oh, cool.
that person won it. Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah.
That's so you do, like, contests and stuff? I
want people to get involved with my music, too, you know? So it's like, I give them the opportunity to, like, appear on my music, their work on my music.
Nice. Yeah. So you really like working together with your fans.
Yeah.
I think that's nice. I think a lot of people want to have an interactive fan base, but they really struggle with that.
Yeah.
Do you find it hard at times to keep interacting with your fan base? Like, do you ever run out of time or do something you wish you hadn't?
Well, I feel like just Discord itself makes it easier for me to, like, interact with everybody at once. Because I can just, like, talk in the chat with everyone instead of, like, if like...
Individually?
Well, yeah, like, some fans, like, they DM me, they're like, oh, I like your song, or they ask me stuff. So yeah, like, but like, good thing is, like, most fans just like ask me on Discord. Like, I have a Q&A channel on Discord, so they can just ask me stuff there. I just answer there. So like, I feel like Discord itself, like, just made everything easier. Like, yo, I'm not even trying to sponsor. It's not an advertisement for Discord. I'm just saying, like, Discord.
This university broadcast is sponsored by. No, it's not.
Yeah.
I don't think I'd be allowed to do that.
No.
Can you imagine just going like, hey, I know this is a university club run podcast, but...
Yeah, no, that'll be fun.
But I agree with you. I think Discord's made things a lot easier for a lot of creatives in terms of communicating with their fans and also doing collabs.
Oh, yeah, true. Yeah, like the VCs and all that stuff. Like.
Yeah. Or even just like, if you're trying to do like a multiplayer game together.
Yeah.
And like... You don't have to look on Twitch. You can do it also on Discord. Yeah,
exactly. Yeah.
All right. And my last question for you, is there anything you'd like to say to any creators out there? So this could be someone who wants to get started, someone who's stuck, someone who, I don't know, is just looking for advice.
Well, all right. So any creators, like, I mean, if they want to do something, make sure they actually have a passion for it. Cause like, yeah, like, if you don't have a passion for what you're doing, then like, it won't, like, the work that, like, you put out, I don't know, like, I would say, like, because when you have a passion for something, you're actually serious about it, and it's like, the work that you put out depends on like how serious you are about it. So like, for music, like, some people just, you know, like, do it for fun, so like, their music may not sound like all that like good, like, they could be trolling and stuff like that, but like, for people to actually like take it serious, they'll have like a better, like, their music will have like a better impact in a way. But yeah, like, not just for music, just like any creators, like, if they, okay, so like, say they're stuck, just like, I don't know, like, you don't gotta force yourself to come up with something, like, to like take a break, like, I don't know, watch shows or something, and then like for me, like,
get inspiration elsewhere.
Exactly. Like, I can watch shows, or I could be playing games. Like, say I'm just playing games, I don't know where, I just start freestyling. It's like, wait, I actually have something, and then I just stop playing games. I'm like, all right, let me record this real quick before I forget. So it's like, yeah, like that's how I like do it. But like, you know, people have different ways of doing things. But for me, I just like use something else as a distraction, and then that kind of reminds me of what my main passion is, like what I'm trying to do, stuff like that.
Do you ever have an idea and then forget to write it down?
Yeah.
That happens to me all the time. It's the worst. You're like, that was such a cool idea. I don't remember what it was, but it was cool.
Yeah. Yo, like, anytime I'm just chilling in my house, like, say, like, I'm home alone, yo, I'm just literally, like, singing or rapping random stuff. And then later, I forgot, like, all that stuff, like, that I said, the flow.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
But, that's the worst.
Exactly.
I always try to, a lot of the times I have really wacky dreams, so I try to write it down.
Yeah.
And then sometimes I'll forget it while I'm writing it down, and I'm like, no, hang on, Give me just like 5 more seconds, please.
Yeah, I mean, like since you're a writer, yeah, like dreams would probably like be like a good, you know, inspiration.
Yeah, I have weird things happen in my dream. I have very weird notes.
Yeah,
in my
phone. I feel you.
If I ever die and someone looks through my phone, they'll be like, "This person was not in their right mind."
No, I feel you. I don't write anything down like that. I just like, but like obviously, like everybody has their thoughts. They don't want to share. You know, they'd rather keep it to themselves.
I don't mind sharing. I just, without context, it looks really weird.
After this podcast, you can send it to me. I might read it.
Okay, sure. I'll send you. Here. I'll read one out before we go.
Okay,
we still
go
have
ahead.
A little bit of time. Let me find one. Let me look in my notes here. Here's one I had recently. So do you know what Legend of Zelda is?
Yeah, of course. Yo, that's one of my childhood favorites.
Hey! Yo, okay.
I played Breath of the Wild.
Yeah, so for people who don't know, it's a game where basically you run around and you try to kill monsters and you're like a hero, whatever.
And puzzles.
And puzzles. And in this specific one, I'm in Skyloft, which is an island that's floating in the sky. So apparently I have a girlfriend and I'm riding around in a helicopter in Skyloft, but my dad is driving it and he keeps forgetting that buildings exist. So he's like just narrowly missing all of these buildings and flying right into it. Bro. But then there are also Pokemon hordes that are they're also Pokemon.
It's a crossover.
They're on this, yeah, and they're being controlled and they're trying to attack me, but I can't fight back for some reason, and military planes have to come and shoot them down.
Bro.
And that there's lots of bombs, and I had to like throw myself on the ground. And then the day after all the Pokemon stuff is done, me and my girlfriend try to sneak into someone's yard, and apparently they're making out inside the house. They hear us, so we jump into the pond and hold our breath, and on the way in, I get stuck on a fence.
Yo, where did the military come from in the Legend of Zelda?
I don't know. It just... I have no idea, because I wasn't doing anything related to like military stuff. Yeah. Like I didn't watch anything, I didn't read anything. I have no idea. My brain was like, you know what? There's too many Pokemon. You need to shoot them with military planes. And it was like, all right.
Why are you killing Pokemon?
Oh, because they were attacking everyone.
Oh, okay. Makes sense. Wild Pokemon.
I've never had a dream where I've had like a bomb happen before. Like it would be like they shot down all the Pokemon and then they threw down a bomb. And then we were all like, oh my god, hit the deck. So we jump down and like everything explodes. Mm. And then I'm fine and I'm sneaking into somewhere and I get stuck in a fence.
Wild.
Dreams are weird.
Yeah. All right, but for me, like if people were to like look at me and stuff, like my fans and stuff, like they wouldn't know that I like all these things. Like they wouldn't know I like anime, manga, like Legend of Zelda. Like it's kind of like I gotta tell them that I like that. Then they get surprised. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It doesn't actually surprise me that you're into Legend of Zelda. I got the vibes from you.
Okay. Yeah.
If that makes sense.
Yeah.
There's some people you just like, you know.
Yeah, I feel you.
All right. Well, thank you very much for joining me today. We had a nice chat.
No problem. Thanks for helping me get into the interview type situation.
Yeah, we did have a bit of technical issues there. Yeah. That's all right. Pretty much everybody does.
Yeah.
I don't think many people have heard of Zencastr.
No, this is my first time I heard of it.
The only reason I found it, I was like Googling free recording software.
Yeah.
And this is what I got. Yeah. It works pretty well.
Well,
all right. Well, this has been another episode of In the Margins. And if you like our show, check us out at RadioLaurie.com or at our Instagram page at In the Margins Podcast for more episodes. And if you want to check out more of Acro's stuff, check him out on YouTube at Acrotopic. So that's ACR0-topic. You can also find him on Apple Music, Spotify, and looking at his link tree, probably pretty much every other streaming platform.
Yep.
And thank you for listening, and we'll see you next time. Bye-bye.
Bye.